worship personally, and she also has an anointing to lead in worship. And so I did not tell her what to teach. We just left it up to the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide her into sharing. And she's going to be sharing at least a couple of times, in this way. So I just want you to get your seatbelts on, praise the Lord, buckle in, and let's blast off, okay? Praise the Lord. Give Mel a big hand. Amen. Love you, Mel. Praise the Lord.
Good evening. Am I on? Can you hear me? Pastor, thank you very much for giving me the privilege to speak tonight. I'm very excited. There I am. Hello. Worship is a subject very near and dear to my heart. And as a worship leader, here's what I crave every Sunday morning. For each one of you to have a truly intimate worship experience with the Lord. That in spirit and truth, we would glorify and honor him, of course. But then that his manifest presence would just ignite us, change us, so that when we leave, we can change the world. Is that asking too much for that to be our goal? That's what we want. That's what I want as a leader. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, glory and honor and power be unto you. Thank you for this night. Thank you for the opportunity to speak and discuss and to understand more of who you are and what worship means and how we can be better at worshiping you and bringing you glory and honor. I thank you by your Holy Spirit, you would just affect my words, open the hearts to hear and have your way in this place so that we will be world changers for you and worshipers in you that worship in spirit and in truth and that bring you glory and honor in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so tonight is the first part of a four-part series all through June. And it's called Worship Without Limits, is what we're calling this. And it's going to be great because I'm going to speak, and of course, Pastor's speaking, and Deb Fink is going to speak, and Rick Biela is going to speak. And so our whole goal is just to take limits off of worship, get a fresh perspective on it. And before we get started, I wanted to lay some ground rules, if that's okay, to help us get as much out of the teaching as we can. So if y'all will accept these rules, that would be great. All right. Rule number one. Are you ready? Don't limit God. Don't limit his power. Don't limit his goodness. Don't limit his majesty. Don't limit his might, his jealousy, his constancy. Don't limit God. El Shaddai means God Almighty. It stresses his dominance, his authority. El Elyon, the Most High God, stresses his strength, his sovereignty, his supremacy. It means he's the possessor and owner over all. El Olam, the everlasting God, the first and last, the beginning and the end. Don't limit God. All right, ready for rule number two? Rule number two, don't limit God. Don't limit him to your understanding. Just as importantly, don't limit him to your understanding of Scripture. Don't limit him to your moods, your preferences, or your experience. What was rule number one? What's rule number two? You gonna guess rule number three? Yeah, you're amazing. Don't limit him and what he has to say through anybody or anything, right? We all know he spoke through a donkey. I'm pretty sure he can speak through me. I want to go back and read this out of 1 Corinthians 2. It says, we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. What? For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. In other words, you don't know everything about him and the way he works. You know some absolutes, right? You know he's good. You know he's love. You know he's wonderful and powerful and omnipotent. But do you know all his ways and all his processes? No, we don't. And we don't know how the limits to with which he can even speak to us through his Spirit. We know he speaks to us through his word. We know he speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. We know he speaks to us through other people. So let's just be open to everything that he has and not put any limits on him. Does that sound good? Okay. All right. Just to get a little group conversation going, if you can, when I say, what's worship to you, in a word or a phrase, will you just throw out something that is what worship means to you, just to get things going? Mary, what's worship to you? Prayer, good. Another one. Communion, beautiful. Yes. Just loving him, beautiful. Anybody else? Roll them out. Worship. Expressions of honor. Fellowship. Anointing. Abandoning your stresses. Recognizing who he is. That's great. Anybody else? Expression of gratitude. Yeah, that's good. Drawing near. Worship is drawing near. Oh, anybody, that's good. That's very good. All right, we're done. Everybody have a great night. It's good for us to hear what worship looks like and means to other people. It's good because it kind of broadens your scope, because maybe one of you have, you know, you might think, I've never thought about worship as abandoning my stresses. That's really amazing. Do you think you can worship God more freely when you have laid down your stresses? Absolutely you can. One of my goals tonight is to deconstruct the whole idea of worship. Deconstruct. Break it down into pieces so that we can then refit those pieces and see it from a new perspective. So that's what I want to do. And we're going to start with what Jesus says about worship as he tells the parable of two worshipers in Luke 18. This is a Pharisee and a tax collector who went into the temple to pray. And starting in verse 9, he says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. It's clear that God wants our total surrender. In fact, we're told to be living sacrifices in Romans 12. He said, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer his mercy like that you haven't been destroyed, right? His great mercy, we shouldn't be here, right? The rules say we shouldn't even be here. In view of this great mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Okay, deconstructing. What does it mean to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice? What do I have to do in order to do that? Right? I must surrender. You have to surrender to offer your body. Group talk again. Group talk. What does surrendering to God mean to you? What does that mean? What does that look like? What's an example of surrender? His will above your own will. All right, she said it. That's everything. But give me examples. Give me examples of that. Giving up. Giving up what? Giving up yourself. What'd you say? I heard something. What'd you say? Forgiveness? Yes. Somebody else. An example of surrendering something to the Lord. Letting him have control over you. Yeah. Giving your will. What else? Commitment. Committing to him. Nice. What else? Shutting down your mind. Getting rid of those distractions. What else? His ways, not our ways. What else? Joy said it, not me. Joy said it's not about how you feel. You obey regardless of how you feel. Good, that's all good. All of these, I think, have something in common. Everything you said. Because surrender requires something. Surrender requires you to kill your pride. Surrender requires you to choose obedience, maybe even over what you wanted to do. Surrender requires you to seek his will above your own. In short, surrender requires humility, humbleness. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Micah 6:8 says, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before your God?" Think back to the age-old mistake of men and angels from the beginning of time. It's what? Exalting oneself above the King of Kings. Does anyone ever get away with that? No, never, never. And how many times are we told again and again to not be filled with pride? I mean, it's addressed constantly because I think it's a serious problem. Because there's always that instinct to kind of put yourself on that throne, even if for, just for a second. To do what you want just for a second. To tell God that it's okay because it's me just for a second. God won't have it. He won't let anybody else on his throne. So humility is the first step of true worship. It's the first step. Just like pride is a worship killer, humility brings on true worship. I have a little prop back here. Let's see. I wonder if somebody would be nice enough to get it for me. I thought, Tommy, thank you. Would you set that in the little fire right here, please? I have an oil lamp that my father-in-law was nice enough to bring for me. I hope it serves as a new grate. Thank you. Perfect. No, it's no. You're getting way ahead of me, Tommy. This is serious. Thank you. You're welcome to say it. You did perfect. You did perfect. I hope this will serve as an illustration. Let me scoot back so everybody can see. I want this to be an illustration of worship to you. Now, I want to have a disclaimer. Every human analogy of a supernatural thing is imperfect and inadequate. Okay, so I realize this is not going to be like the mind-blowing illustration that works no matter what, you know, and continues perfectly forever and is consistent. But for our purposes here, it'll be just fine. Just follow along. All right. This lamp was created to shine light. Is that not its purpose? Right. But could it just be used for decorative purposes? just sit on a table and look pretty? All right. You and I were created to shine His light. This is us. This is our spirit. Now, we can just be a pretty little empty, useless lamp on a table that looks nice, but never shines, never fulfills the purpose of what we were supposed to do. We don't want to do that, do we? We want to shine bright for our King. Now, you're the lamp. Your spirit is the lamp. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're ready to worship. But first, you have to do something in order to be lit. And we talked about it. What's the first step to worship? Humility. We have to surrender. Now, in order for this light to be turned on, what needs to be removed? Any barrier that keeps you from being lit needs to be removed. What are your barriers? Oh, man. Sin? Any sin you have in your life? Anything between you and God, any unforgiveness you have, those are barriers. Pride is a barrier. Being unloving to someone is a barrier. You know what your barrier is. I'm not going to list them. You know. We know what our barriers can be. But in order to shine, we have to get rid of this first. That's what we have to do. We have to surrender. You have to expose yourself to the Lord, all of you, to have access to what He has. Now, our lamp's not ready just yet, right? This is an oil lamp. It's not ready for fire because it just has a short little wick, and that dry wick's going to burn out really fast unless it has something. What does it need? It needs oil. Very good. Now, to burn hot and bright and long, we need oil. Okay, oil. That's the fuel, right? What's the fuel for our worship? What's our fuel? What's helping us? I'll tell you what. We've got two things that are our fuel, and here they are. Our fuel is who God is and what He has done. That's your oil. What does that mean? Thanksgiving, gratitude, praising His name, extolling His name. If you were just to walk in a room and go, okay, God, I worship You. Yeah, I got nothing. You have to have oil to motivate the praise that is coming out of you. You got to know who He is. You got to know what He's done. Well, how do I know who He is? I get in the Word and find out who He is. What has He done for you? Let me tell you, you're in Texas in 2014. You're pretty blessed to even be here. Your family, your job, and even, you know, even on your worst day, if you cannot praise Him for what He's done for you, you can always praise Him for who He is. You can always praise Him for who He is. So you're never at a loss. Your oil is, God, I thank You for who You are. I praise You for Your majesty and Your mercy and Your love. And once you get going, this oil is kind of like a renewable energy source. It'll just keep overflowing and overflowing and overflowing. But you have to have that motivation to have that praise burn and last. Joy in your salvation, oil. Gratitude, oil. Repentance, oil. Extolling Him, blessing Him, oil. Pick a psalm, any psalm. That's oil. If you're burned out after one song on a Sunday morning, you need some oil. If it's hard for you to focus after 5 minutes of prayer, you need some oil. You just need some oil. Fill up your oil. Now the last part. We have a lamp. We got our oil. We're ready. We've taken our barriers down. We've repented, and we're not going to let anything between us and the Lord. We're transparent before Him. We're ready. What do we need? Does the lamp already have fire? Oh. This isn't our part. Who's the fire? There you go. He just read the scripture. Do you think we can worship at all without the Holy Spirit? No. No, we can't. The Holy Spirit is the catalyst that makes the worship possible. He's the fire. You might think, the song, that perfect song on a Sunday morning, I just need to hear that song, and that's my match, that's my fire. A song will never be your fire. If you're waiting for a song to be your fire, you will never light. It'll never light. Because a song's a tool. It's just a tool to be used for His glory. There's plenty of songs that aren't even... There are songs that dishonor the Lord. There are songs that honor the Lord. But again, a song's just a tool. The fire that's going to set you ablaze is the Holy Spirit. He enables us. He ignites us. We don't shine without Him. And like we said before, really, we can't even worship without Him. So worship alone is not the lamp. Worship alone is not the oil. The oil alone is not worship. The fire alone is not worship. It's this amazing thing. It's this, I don't know, will it light? Will this work? Worship is this. The reaction of all these things together. This lighting, oh my goodness, calm down. The light that this gives, this kind of supernatural interaction between all these things, that creates worship. Dissipating the darkness, warming us, strengthening us. This is worship. All these things coming together, the unity of these things. Worship is the reaction of our spirits alive to His Spirit, surrendered and willing and fueled with the oil of thanksgiving and gratitude and praise. Worship is the fulfillment of our purpose, like this lamp is now fulfilling its purpose. Worship is what happens when we've surrendered, when we've given thanks, when we've praised and blessed His name, when we repent and kneel and humble ourselves. And it's because we serve a responsive God. He responds to true worship. He responds to surrender. He responds to gratitude. His Spirit responds to us and is ready to ignite us. But I want to ask you one more thing while you're wrapping your mind around this. In what manner does He light you? How does He do that for you? I want you to picture yourself coming in to a Sunday morning worship service, okay? You've come in, and you are so thankful. You're so full of gratitude. Your heart is full of nothing but love, butterflies, and forgiveness for everybody. You got oil for days, okay? You're ready to praise His name. You're ready to worship Him. Now, where is the flame to light you? Where is that to you? I think generally people fall into two categories. I think there's chasers and there's waiters. Chasers come in, they're going to chase after God. They're going to shout and be loud, and they're running after God because they want Him to know He's wanted, right? I'm going to chase after you. I'm going to find you. God, do you see me? Do you see me worshiping here? Come on, I'm running after you. I'm going to find you. I'm seeking you. I'm going to get you. There is a Bethel song. The lyrics say, I want to know you. I'm after your heart. I'm chasing you. I'm so in love. The chaser, chasing after God. Because the fire is off somewhere else. And I'm going to chase you, God, and find you, and you're going to light me. Then there's a waiter. A waiter feels like God's going to come in His time when He's ready. I'm just going to be still and usher Him in. That fire's coming. If we listen and we wait, it's going to get here, and He's going to light me. And there's that song, waiting here for you with our hands lifted high in praise. We're going to wait. We're going to wait for you, Lord. I would like to offer a third possibility, if that's okay. Ephesians 1 says, blessed, and now there's nothing wrong with thinking about it either way. Absolutely not. There's tons of scriptures about waiting upon the Lord, and there's tons of scriptures about seeking the Lord. So I'm not saying any of that's wrong. I just want you to think about it a third way. Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined, according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantor of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. 1 John 4, beloved, let us love one another. The love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. So you always know that's 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. Right. Skip. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. Skip. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved. Revelations 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Does this sound like we're chasing God to you? He chose us, predestined us, loved us, gave us his Spirit. He's after us. He's after us. He's after us. Are we chasing him? Are we waiting on him? Or is it possible God is both chasing and waiting on you? I think we serve a God who is chasing us every day. And every day, hey, here I am. You want to talk to me? You want to be with me? I've got things to tell you. And all he wants you to do is take off the barrier so that he can light you. Because his fire is not far, and it's not taking a long time. I think he's always right here. Just take off the barrier. Just take it off. I'm right here. You don't have to beg me. You don't have to plead with me. Because of course I'm here. Of course every day all I do is wait at your door for you to listen to me and accept me. And he's responsive. And he's a good God. He doesn't force himself on us uninvited. No. He waits for a response. But I see him as this beautiful daddy God. It's like chasing a toddler, right? Does a toddler want to be chased, right? Do they want to play the game? Yeah, but what do they really want? They want to be caught. They want to be caught, and they want to be spun around. And that's what God wants to do for us when we're worshiping. All he wants us to do is turn around and go, catch me. That's what God wants from us. That's what worship is. Worship is realizing it's not all about me and all this effort I'm putting out to find God and chase God, because you know what? That gives me a little too much credit. Let's be honest. God's already here. He's chasing me all day long. So let's just acknowledge you're chasing me. I understand you're bigger than I am. You're greater than I am. I'm ready for you to pick me up, swing me around, spin me around, hold me in your arms, and change me from the inside out. I think that's what our God is doing. That's a third way to think about it. And here's, I think, how it'll help you when you're at home praying or you're at home worshiping. When you realize really your only job is to humbly surrender yourself. And listen, that's a hard enough job. It's a hard enough job. Besides waiting and chasing, I'm really glad we really don't have to do that, because humbly surrendering yourself takes everything. It requires everything in order to do that. But that's all he asks you to do. That's all. And that's the fertile ground of thanksgiving and praise and true worship, surrendering yourself to him, taking off the glass, pouring out that oil, and letting him spark you, because he's right there to do it. Amen. So I hope, I want to leave you with this scripture. It's in Psalm 23:6, and it simply says, "Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life." He's chasing you every day with his beauty and his love and his mercy. And all he wants is for us to lift our hands and say, "All right, catch me, here I am, catch me." Amen? Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we do this before we ask the prayer partners to come? Why don't we stand to our feet, and let's just take a moment, you know, and let the God, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, who's already right there with you, you know, you cannot escape his presence. The Bible says, if I'm in the highest heaven or the lowest hell, you are there. But let's just let him touch us right now. Can you do that with me? Just lift your hands to the Lord, and let's surrender for just a moment and worship him. Would you do it out loud? Heavenly Father, we just worship you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for lighting our fire, for enabling us and empowering us and bringing us into the very presence of God. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Thank you, Holy Father. Thank you, Holy Father, that our fire, praise the Lord, is lit and continues to burn. Hallelujah. That we're alive on the inside as we worship you. You make us, you touch us, you make us alive so that we'll shine in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you just praise him in the spirit for a few minutes? That's one of the easiest ways to draw near, so the Holy Spirit can just, hallelujah, touch you with his fire. The Holy Spirit and fire. Thank you for helping us, O Lord. Even in this area when we know not how to properly worship and speak those things that our Lord deserves. But you enable us and empower us. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was just thinking as Mel was sharing there, and of course the aspect of the teaching of how the Holy Spirit lights our fire, and then, you know, and then as related to worship and worshiping the Lord. But then it struck me also that fire, as we are burning brightly for the Lord, that fire not only like is a personal thing, but it's dispelling darkness all around it. You know, if we had shut everything off, every light had been shut in the buildings, and she lit that, you would see suddenly a point, a place, it would draw your attention. There, you know, you can't ignore, there's the light. It would dispel all the darkness that was around it. And that's the way you and I are. As we let the Holy Spirit empower us, light us, And then, you know, keep that fire burning. We can do that all the time. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So it's not just a Sunday morning experience, is it? That's just, you know, when sometimes we come in and we have that corporate gathering, corporate anointing to enter into worship and praise with each other. Amen. But we do it all the time. We're to just stay close to it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, prayer partners, I just invite you guys to come down now. And if anyone needs prayer when we dismissed, and you know the routine. Here we are. Prayer partners are here. God's here. Holy Spirit is here. Whatever you need, all you've got to do is just come and ask him in faith, and the Lord will minister to you. Okay? Praise the Lord. All right. God bless you. Listen, we'll see you on Sunday. I'm going to be, did you know that this Sunday's Pentecost Sunday? Woo! Hallelujah. And I get to preach on this Pentecost Sunday. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? Y'all better watch out. Hallelujah. Okay, guys, love you much, and we will see you at least by Sunday, right? Amen. God bless you.